Hello and welcome to the Brutal Iron Gym Podcast, where our goal is to cut through the BS and deliver the brutal truth about topics related to health and happiness. Today's podcast is number 762. Yes, we're still on number 762, but this is part 4, and I think we'll be wrapping it up today. So the topic is training. The title is Training Through Joint and Connective Tissue Injuries. Quick rehash, if you haven't listened to part 1, 2, and 3 yet, is I asked for kind of topics for a podcast online. We had somebody call, kind of recommend or ask for training tips for people with arthritis in the knee, hip, and back, and other issues, tissue injuries to the meniscus, labrum, and or discs. So we went through and talking about all this. I freaking love it. So thank you to the person who sent this. I enjoy knowing that at least one person will listen to the podcast. And I believe this is a topic that a lot of people would find helpful, would find useful. So hopefully that's true of you. So we've been talking about when we're trying to address any of these issues and you're trying to like train through them in the sense of you want to improve them, but you also still want to maybe compete in a sport. You want to continue to get bigger, stronger, faster, all the good things. You still want to move forward. You still want to have progressive fun goals. You don't want to be done yet. Okay. Well, in each training session or each rehab session, whatever the hell you call them, you're going to do three things. You're going to focus on a low irritation, high blood flow warm-up. We talked about the benefits of that being it produces or increases blood flow and water into the affected area, which can increase the feeling of stabilization and stability in the area. It also increases our mind-muscle connection. We can feel it better when we do movements. We're more aware of proper positioning or even bad positioning. We're more sensitive to it, so we can catch it early. It increases endorphins, increases adrenaline. Endorphins are natural painkillers. Adrenaline is natural focus. Also just kind of like an attentive effort for the day. So it's kind of like a mindset painkiller as well. So that's why we do the high blood flow warm-up. Then we get into stabilization and supporting muscles for strengthening purposes. So that way we protect the area before we go and then work the area. So which is the third part, which is challenge the injury. And you want to do just enough stuff to kind of irritate that part of the body, just to remind the body that needs to heal. Your body only ever strengthens an area back to what it believes is necessary. So if the best thing you do is walk after an injury, it'll only ever be strong enough to walk. You must challenge injuries if you want them to continue to grow, okay, or continue to improve and heal up. Last part, okay, we're going to talk about just torn labrum. I have had some shoulder injuries myself. I popped both my shoulders out of place when I was younger in football. Tore up a lot of stuff. Never got it diagnosed because it was a lot of money and we didn't really have a lot of money at the time. My shoulders just jacked up, so I just didn't do any overhead training for like 10 years. And it took a long time to fix, long time to rehab it, but I was able to do that. I've helped a lot of other people through shoulder injuries, Olympic athletes through shoulder injuries, and even one of my best friends, his name's Tommy. He had a shoulder injury, like a torn labrum, and we would always train through that, and he was still able to end up deadlifting 3 times body weight and being strong as hell, and it looked great aesthetics, all those things. So again, what we go through is every single training session, we do low irritation, high blood flow warm-up. You typically do 2 to 3 rounds where it doesn't feel challenging at all. You're just kind of making the body move, letting it get used to the movements. Then you do 1 or 2 rounds where it has some burn, some challenge, so it starts to produce those endorphins and adrenaline. What we want to look for when we look for high blood flow warm-ups, specific to a torn labrum, which is like a shoulder injury. So we want to work on upper back work and most notably scapular movement. We actually want to train the upper back and the shoulder blades to prepare ourselves for shoulder movements. Now this is odd because most people would start with like lateral raises or, you know, arm circles and stuff like that, which isn't bad, but it's better to learn how to properly position and brace your shoulder blades. So that way when you do movements of like pushing or pulling movements, you can properly brace your shoulders themselves. If you can brace the shoulder joint, you're better. You're going to get more equal and even involvement of the musculature, and you're also going to protect your position to make sure that the shoulder isn't in a bad position and you're jamming or pinching on muscles. So you actually want to start with upper back work, scapular work. You can do scapular retractions, whether it's just hands on the wall, hands on the floor. You can do a lot of variations of those. Some people will have them do like a yoga pose, like downward dog, even inchworms. We do a lot of variations of scapular work. You can also just do it by simple regular back exercises. So a chest supported row, cable seated row, one-arm rows on whatever the hell kind of machine you have. If all you have is dumbbells, you do dumbbell dual bent over row. It's just trying to get the shoulder blades to move and learn how to feel them contract, release, and then even isometrically hold. So often in the warm-ups, we'll go through a contract-release variation of a scapular movement, and then we also go through an isometric hold in a contracted position as almost like you're bracing yourself for an overhead press or something like that. So we kind of do both. We do a movement and non-movement scapular work to warm up. Okay? Then you can even do external-internal rotation type work. There's different types of like PNF or FRC is a lot of weird names to stuff. But there's a lot of drills you can do to open up range of motion in internal-external rotation, and that can help alleviate some tightnesses and stresses that you might be feeling during the session. So it's good to have those addressed in some way. So we typically do that kind of stuff first. Then we look into stabilization and supporting musculature. We want to do some strengthening work. Again, you want to work on scapular bracing movements. So if we do, say, a simple scap retract, with the hands on the wall, we might then get into heavy loading for a cable seated row or chest supported row. So we kind of start with the lighter variations of scapular movement and then go into the heavier variations. And that's kind of a progression from warm up into strengthening work. So that's kind of the main thing we look for. Then you also want to address all other musculature of the back, because again, the back is your bracing and supporting for the shoulders. So you want to address lats, teres major, the upper trapezius, lower trapezius, your serratus major, and inferior. There's a whole bunch of work in there. Pec major, pec minor, so even the front side of the body as well. So you want to strengthen everything that can connect into the shoulder. So that way, when you want to move your shoulder, all of its connective musculature is strong enough and properly equaled in strength and tightnesses, and that's going to give it the best, healthiest, safest way to be used. Then what you want to do is challenge the work. If you know you have a movement that kind of reminds your body that your shoulder is injured, you want to do it in a safe way. So we talked about in part one the use of isometrics and various types of loading. So please go back and listen to part one, and that would be related to this as well. So if we're looking to, say you have an overhead press and that's too painful and it makes your shoulder hurt, well, can you do a 45 degree incline press? Maybe even a 30 degree incline press? Can you get near the area of pain, strengthen that, and then it'll allow you to get closer into the area of pain? We talked about how isometrics, if you hold a muscle at under tensional load, but you don't let it move, so it's non-movement contraction. That's an isometric. You can do isometrics at any joint angle. Well, if you do a joint angle of, say, 90 degrees, it does strengthen the area of like plus or minus 10% or 10 degrees. So you're going to get kind of like an 80 to 100 degree strengthening around instead of just a 90. So if I have pain at 90, maybe I can get to an 80 degree angle, do some isometrics there, get stronger, then go 85 degree angle, do some isometrics there, then all of a sudden I can load into the 90 and have a lot less pain. But that's what we want to do, is find some type of movement that typically would cause pain, do a variation of it to where the pain is tolerable or very low level. So that way you remind the body that that area still needs stressed, addressed, but you don't make it worse. So that's what we're going to look for. So the main training considerations when we're looking for kind of torn labrum areas is to find where your pain is and then go on the edges of it. So find a movement that's just below the painful area or just above the painful area. Just work around the pain and progress as close as you can to it. Eventually, you'll be able to actually work through the area of pain, and that helps a lot. The other thing to think of is, if the next day after your training, your arm hurts way too bad, or you have like a dead arm feeling. I remember I had to train people in a button-down flannel shirt before because I couldn't get my arm over my head to put a t-shirt on. If you have a dead arm feeling, or if you have a lot of pain the very next day, write down and record everything you did the day before and start to eliminate and kind of analyze which of those movements is starting to be too much to the body. You might have find that you can't test it as much as you would like to because it can't pass the test yet. You have to build up its ability to do the warm-up work and the stabilization work first. That's going to help you build your base, so then when you go into the heavier, bigger movements that are more directly related to the injury, it won't have such a negative recoil in terms of reaction. So you do have to cause some annoyance to the injury to remind your body to fix it, but you don't want to cause more annoyance than the body can fix. Okay? So that's what we look for, is 2 to 3 rounds of really easy work of scapular retraction movement, maybe even some internal external rotation opening. Then you do 1 or 2 rounds of kind of burning that up. Then we get into heavier weight loads for stabilization and supporting work, which we said was like a lot of back movements, pull-ups, pull-downs, overhead holds. You can do pec major, pec minor work, anything that works with serratus, so muscle. So these are things that we want to look for. And you create like circuits and supersets and stuff based on those muscles. Make sure they're all addressed. Make sure they're strengthened. Usually 2 to 3 warm-ups and 2 to 3 working sets. Then you go into the main work of the workout. And that would be some type of push movement typically that's going to cause an irritation to the shoulder. But you're working around the irritation angle to make sure you strengthen it, but you're not causing it to be worse. So that's the labrum. Now I'm going through this a little bit quickly, but that's pretty much it. It's not more complex than that. It's find what causes low-level irritation you can recover from and do a shit ton of it. If all of a sudden you can't recover from it, back off from the level of irritation. You just have to modify it as you go. And where the most people make mistakes is they don't train their back, they train the shoulder. So train your back first. Get it nice and strong. That's the base of stabilizational strength for your shoulder. So train your back, train your like the muscles that move your shoulder blades. Get those strong, and then your shoulders will get a lot healthier. Okay? So quick wrap up for all four parts is the process is you want to prepare the area for work. You want to go through the warm-ups. You want to go through the stabilization and strengthening, supportive musculature strengthening work. Get all that stuff done first. Make sure that's addressed. Absolutely. Please, please, please. Because you can't do the big movements directly related to your injury if you don't have a proper warm-up and you don't have the stabilizers and supporters all strengthened. So please look at that first. Don't skip that stuff. That stuff is the absolute first place you should start, without a doubt. Okay? Then remember that there has to be a low-level challenge. You do have to challenge and stress the tissue or the injury. But you want to stress it in a way that you feel like you can continually improve upon and recover from. You'll know this by tracking your efforts in workouts. If you're getting 5 more pounds in the bar, you know, every 2 or 3 weeks, you're getting an extra rep or two every week or two. So you just want to have some type of a slow incremental increase in performance. And that shows you that you're doing a level of challenge that you're still able to recover from. Okay. So a little quick review about good challenge versus bad challenge. A good challenge is there's some discomfort, but there's no panicky feelings in the body. There's no stabbing in the body. Whatever discomfort you feel goes away once you get a little more warmed up, or it goes away really quickly after the workout. Okay, and you can still become stronger over time because you're tracking your lifts and everything's still moving up. Bad challenge is there's stabbing, sharp pain, the body's immediately pissed off, you feel worse after the workouts, and your numbers are actually going down, or you can't make any progress because you're on, off, up, down, undertrained, overtrained, and kind of going back and forth. Okay? And then the last thing is to remember patience. It just takes a long time. It can take months, it can take years, but it's worth it because you're planning on being alive for probably a really long time. Why not invest a year or two now to live the rest of the years or twos without any pain? So it's a very smart choice when you look at it in the long run. Take your time, be patient, okay? So some extra tips. Remember that sleep is when you heal, so get as much sleep as possible. Food is fuel to heal. so get as much food as possible. Now, don't overeat and become fat, but make sure you don't undereat. Don't go into some major diet at the same time you're trying to rehab an injury. Just try to hold your weight while you're trying to rehab the injury. So sleep is when you heal. Food is how you heal. Okay? You need to have food and sleep along with the training. That's the only way you're going to get better. You can train your ass off, but if you don't sleep and you eat like a jackass, you're not going to get really anywhere. So make sure you're getting as much sleep as you can, the more the better. Make sure you're eating proper amount of calories, track that every day, so you're not under eating and under recovering. Okay? So that was the wrap up of everything. I hope, again, that this series, these four-part series, was very helpful. And I want to, again, emphasize that whatever your issue is, there is help. You don't have to live in pain. There is a way to become better, a way to still move forward. You can still compete. You can still be awesome. You can still live out your dreams. You just hit a speed bump. This is a great opportunity to rework your thought process, rework your approach, and you might find that you're actually going to be better in the long run because it slowed you down enough to take a look around and see what the truth was. So take this time as a time to not only physically grow, but mentally grow as well. Buy a book about programming. Buy a book about nutrition. Talk to an expert. Okay, take the time to invest into your knowledge at the same time you're investing back into your health, physical health. Okay, now if you want help from us, like I said, I am happy to do it. I love doing this. It's one of the main things I do, how I pay for the gym and pay for my own cost of life. And we have clients all across the United States. We have clients in Europe, Australia, Brazil, you know, everywhere. So please reach out to us if you need any help. We're always here and we're always happy to help. You can find more about our services on our website at www.brutalirongym.com. You can always email us at our email, which is brutalirongym@gmail.com. We're here, and we're happy to help. So please reach out. You are not alone. You don't have to pay us a dime. Just reach out and tell us what you're struggling with, and I'll try to give you some information, either from these podcasts or something on top of it if it didn't make sense. So it's not a big ploy to get money. If you give us money and I can help you, that's great because that keeps us in business, allows us to keep making podcasts. Money is a good thing, but it's not the only thing that matters. So whatever you need, please let us know. Okay, cool. Now, if you think these podcasts are helpful, if you think this series was helpful, please share it. The more people we can share this information to, the more people we can give some hope that what they're struggling with can change, can improve. They can still live a good, healthy, happy life. So please share the podcast. You can share it on social media. You can share an email, text message, conversation, however. The more you share the podcast, the more people we can help. The more people we can reach, okay? So thank you if you do. Also, if you like this information, you can find more from us on our social media channels of Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter under the name Brutal Iron Gym. And if you have any questions, feedback, or suggestions, we'd always love to hear from you. The podcast is for you, so we want to know what you want to learn about. You can tell us at our email, brutalirongym@gmail.com. As always, I hope this was helpful, and thank you for listening.